Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, and we will be looking at verses 34 through 38. Matthew 22, 34 to 38. And we will be dealing with the first and great commandment. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." In Mark, the words of Christ are recorded in this fashion: "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So, in what sense is this commandment the first commandment? Well, I believe it is safe to say that it was first in the sense that it was a commandment which was written upon the heart of men even from creation. It was the binding upon Adam in the garden, even before the creation of Eve, his wife. God had commanded this before there was a necessity for any other command. This command was written upon the very tablets of the heart: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." But I believe we can also say that it is the first commandment in the matter of priority. This is the summary of the commandments which have to do with man's relationship to God. You see, there's a very real sense in which this commandment is first in the matter of inherent justice. Men may have some difficulty in understanding how it can always be just and right for one to love his neighbor, especially his enemy. Hey, but there should be no difficulty in understanding that it is right and just for one to love God, his creator, his greatest benefactor. "Thou shalt love thy God" comes to us with divine clarity and authority. And that command is ratified in the dictates of nature and of our own conscience. This command must take first place because justice demands it. Take heed of this command above every other. Obey it. It is the first commandment. You see, this is the first and great commandment because it actually is the foundation of all other commandments. And why would I say that? Because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, we read this: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Does that not tell us something of how we are to love God? When God said, "Thou shalt not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth," when he said, "You shall not worship them nor serve them," when God said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain when he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What is God saying? Love me supremely. You see, he was giving the specifics of a more general command. Thou shalt love thy neighbor is actually contained in this commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, for the loving of God would of necessity involve the duty of loving my neighbor. But then it says it's the great commandment. First commandment, great commandment. Why great? Why would it be referred to as the great commandment? Because of its comprehensiveness. It demands the totality of our being. And it makes immense demands. Think of the words again recorded in Mark. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. First of all, then, let us examine the commandment more closely to determine what it really says. And we will look at these headings. What exactly is the duty? The extent of the duty? And the basis of the duty? First of all, then, what exactly is the duty? Well, the duty is quite simple. It is this. We are to love God. Multitudes break this commandment. There are many who hate God. There are atheists and infidels who blaspheme God. There are those who rail at the very being of a God. Although in their consciences they know there is a God, yet with their lips they blasphemously deny his existence. You see, these men basically say there is no God because they wish there were no God. God's command to those who hate and despise him is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. There are other men who do not openly, verbally deny the existence of God. They're practical atheists. That is, they are practicing atheists. They disregard God. They live their life without any regard whatsoever to God or the things of God. They are willing to reverence all powers that be, but he who ordained them is to be passed by and to be forgotten. They rise in the morning without a prayer. They rest at night without bending the knee. They go through the week's business and they never acknowledge a God. You often hear them speak of good luck, but you never hear them speak of the providence of God. Never acknowledge that God is sovereign and in control. Oh, they may mention God's name in cursing or in some careless, flippant manner and thereby increase their guilt. What does God have to say to those who disregard him? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I must point out that among those who are guilty of disregarding God are those who would insist that, well, while they don't go to church regularly, they nevertheless consider themselves, I'm as good as other men. probably better than most. Well, whether one is good or even better than someone else, that's not the issue. The issue is that God has commanded that we are to love Him with all of our heart. The fact that there are those who are hypocrites is no excuse for disregarding this command. God does not command that we become amazed at His creative power. No, He says you shall love God with all your heart. There are those who do not deny the existence of God. In fact, they believe that there is a God. They even believe that Christ is the Son of God. They believe in the existence of the Holy Spirit. They even believe that these are three in one, one in three. They are very orthodox in their beliefs and are able to defend what they believe. The problem is they read, study, contemplate, even meditate, but they do not love God. And God's command comes to them as well. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Finally, there are those who are very, very faithful in their church attendance. Faithful, perhaps, in personal devotions. Faithful, perhaps, in family worship. But the truth of the matter is, it's mere form. It's mere routine. Just going through the motions, no substance. No delight in prayer, no real delight in family worship. There's no love for God. Secondly, the extent of the duty. How much am I to love God? That much? That much? That much? How much? You know, it's interesting that in summarizing the commandments, Christ said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you see, in a sense, our Lord is putting some kind of a limitation on how much we're to love our neighbor. But there's no limitation as to how much we're to love God. It's with all. All. A-double-L. The story goes that school teacher asked Johnny to define all. And he stood up and he says, all is all. That's all is. All is. A-double-L. Simple little word, isn't it? But it speaks volumes. Volumes. All your heart. Are we to love God more than our neighbor? Of course we are. We're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We could state it this way. We are to love God supremely. Now, it is true that we are to love those of our family, those who are nearest and dearest to us. But Christ made it clear, even in that situation, that our love for God must surpass that and be supreme. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Christ demands supreme love. Yes, we are allowed to love our relatives, and we are taught to do so. He that does not love his own family and provides for them is worse than a heathen and a publican. But not only are we to love God supremely, we are to love God wholeheartedly. That is, we've got to give Him all we have. And you shall love the Lord your God with not with your heart. All your heart. the whole going forth of our being, the whole stirring up of the soul, is to be for God and God only. We are to love God with our soul, all of our soul. The soul is that which causes us to be eternal beings. The destiny of the soul is ultimately the destiny of the body. Think of these words. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And if we are to love God with all our soul, then we must be willing to die. We must be willing to be a martyr rather than deny God. From time to time, I recommend that people read the biography of Jim Elliot. And I'm sure you may recall that he was a missionary among four other men who ministered to the Aqua Indians in Ecuador, savage tribe of Indians. And you may also remember that several years ago we had his dear wife, Elizabeth Elliot, worship with us here in the service. But those of you that approximate our age know that that incident happened when we were teenagers. At least my wife and I were teenagers when it happened. And it made the news. It was all over the place. Five missionaries martyred. Five missionaries murdered, killed. And as you know the story, they had tried to contact this tribe. They had flown over it with an airplane several times, dropped gifts, trying to make contact with them. And finally they decided it would probably be safe to land and to have personal contact with them, which they did. Some of the Indians came out, met with them. They couldn't understand them. They exchanged gifts. They made sign language, whatever. They thought they were gaining some ground with them. The tribe went back into the jungle, and that evening came out and murdered all five men. If you read Jim Elliot's diary and journal, many, many times when he was in college, he said things and made references to things that was very clear that he thought he would die young. He just had that impression. He's the man who said he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I've recounted this before, but it fits here because of the fact that we must be willing to die. That when this happened, back then there was such things known as the Life magazine. It no longer exists. The journalist went down to interview these women, and they were talking to them. And one of the journalists says, "We're talking to you about your husbands who have been literally massacred, and there's no tears. Why aren't you weeping?" And one of the wives said, "We died before we got here." You think of that. We died before we got here. Don't you think that's involved in loving the Lord with all your heart? Knowing the dangers, the risk, the outcome, what it could be more than likely? I think so. Well, we're to love God with all of our mind. The intellect is to love God. Many believe in the existence of God. Who do not love that belief? They do not love God. They believe that God exists, but at the same time, they wish He did not exist. Some would be very happy if they knew for sure that God had died. Remember those words? God is dead. A number of years ago. They would be happy if He were dead, because they could live like they want to, with no accountability. But those are not the thoughts of a true Christian. To the true child of God, the reality of the existence of God is a source of great joy and comfort. His intellect bows to the reality of God's existence, not as a slave that must bow against his will, but as one who bows in true worship. Last of all, considering the extent to which we are to love God, we see that we are to love him with all of our strength. And I believe it is safe to say that, among other things, this means that our love for God is to be characterized, yes, characterized by activity. We've been studying Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. As servants of God, we are to redeem the time. We are exhorted not to become weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We are to look to God for strength. This brings us to our third major heading, and that is the basis of the duty. Thou shalt love him with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? Why are we to do that? What's the reason behind it? Well, because he is Lord. That is Jehovah. And secondly, because he is our God. We ought to love God for what he is. One commentator says, he is all-sufficient, eternal, self-existent, unchangeable, omnipotent, omnipresent. Wilt thou not reverence him? He is good. He is loving. He is kind. He is gracious. See the bounties of his providence. Behold the plenitude of his grace. Wilt thou not love Jehovah? Because he is Jehovah. We ought to love God because he is our God. How so is he our God? Well, he created you. Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made you and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Though he is pleased to bring us into this world by means of human parents, he is still our creator as much as he was the creator of Adam. Think of all the intricacies of the body. The eye that can see, perceive color, distance, touch. You can feel the difference between this pulpit and David's hand. Smell, hear. Think of the intricacies. That's a body that God has given you. It is God's creation. Surely our response to our Creator is that we ought to love him and adore him. We ought to love God who sustains us. And here I'm going to pass by a rather lengthy quote and move on. To us who have been saved, we are to love God. Surely it is evident that we must love God, our Creator and the sustainer of our life. But there is yet a more compelling reason why those of us who have been saved must love God. It is because of the reality that God loved us first. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That's why. When did that first love occur? Way back before he created the world. Way back in eternity past, he sent his eternal and distinguishing love upon us. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. And we refer to this as God's eternal, distinguishing, electing love. Why should we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, strength? Because he loved us first with an electing love. Well, finally, let us consider the ways in which it will be evident that we love God. You know what's on the top of my list here? If we love God, it will be evident because we spend time with Him. Reading His Word, praying, meditating. What a blessing it is to be able to have communion with God all day long. In the midst of some of the most demanding duties, you can have an awareness of God's presence. And you can be communing with Him. It's an evidence of your love. Our love for God will be evidenced in our desire to know and to do the will of God. That will have priority in our life. There's another way we can measure our love for God, and it is this: how much do we hate sin? In fact, the Scripture says, "Ye who love God." In fact, here it is, Psalm 97:10. "Hate evil, you who love the Lord." How much do you hate sin? How much do you love God? Remember, hatred for sin is universal hatred for sin. It's not that particular sin that really bugs me so much. It's all sin. Even my right eye sins. And my right hand sins. Which give me the most joy. We are to hate sin because we love God. And God hates sin. But you know something else? We'll not only hate sin in our lives, we'll hate it in the lives of others. Will we not? And we will not take pleasure in the sins of others. If we love God, we will be grieved when His name is taken in vain. We will be quick to defend His cause. If we love God, we will love the people of God because God's image is reflected to us in them. Our love for God will be evident, and that there will be no sacrifice too great. Do you know any reasons why we don't love God as we ought? Let me quickly name them. Too much self-love. Too much love of self. There's another reason why. Love of the world. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love for the Father is not in him. Then there's love of sin. In one church that I had opportunity to pastor, there was a young man that had never come to Christ, and he was dating an unsaved girl. And this girl knew that he had Christian parents and that he attended church. And one night they were talking, and she said to him, "Why don't you become a Christian?" And he couldn't answer that question, and he went home, and he had a sleepless night, and he had to come up with this answer: "The reason I haven't come to Christ is because I love my sin too much." Is not loving God really serious? Listen to these words. From Corinthians 16:22. "If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed." Is it a serious sin? These words need no explanation. If our Lord is in fact God over all and blessed forever, then failure to love Him as God over all and blessed forever is the violation of our whole duty to God. If He be not only truly God, but God manifested in the flesh for our salvation, if he unites himself in himself all divine and human excellence, if he has so loved us as to unite our nature to his own when he came to be born of a virgin, to humble himself and become obedient to death, even death on the cross, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life, then our own hearts must assent to the justness of the sentence pronounced against us if we do not love him. It is a solemn warning. The Lord, whom men refuse to recognize and love, one day will appear in glory, and he will take vengeance upon those who do not know God and who do not obey him. That's how serious it really is. Well, may God enable us to love him more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to consider your word. Lay it upon our minds and hearts. Help us not to forget these truths so quickly. May they make a lasting impression upon us in the days and weeks ahead. That we may love our God supremely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.